ending.
Welcome in to another episode of Chiefs Focus Live. We've got a full show for you today, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk about the injury report, both on the Chiefs and Bengals side. We're going to talk about the game. We're going to head into our Believe It or Not segment, and I've got some questions for JP. My name is Quentin Morris. We got Thiz running the show, and now a guy who is ready to find an excuse to drink on Sunday night is the old man himself, JP. How are we doing?
Yeah, I'm okay, man. You know what? I didn't drink. And you know me, I don't drink. So it was really hard for me not to drink Sunday night. But I've calmed down. I've gotten over the whole thing. I've talked to a lot of people, and I feel better. So
even on New Year's, Sunday with New Year's Eve?
I'm okay with it. That's not affecting me at all. After talking to the few people that I have and, you know, some people that have actually spoken with other teams in the NFL, and players of teams in the NFL, especially the contenders for the playoffs, anybody that's in the playoffs right now, and everybody has said they don't want to see the Chiefs in the playoffs. They do not want to meet them in the playoffs, regardless of who it is, because they do know that regardless of what's going on during the season, playoff Chiefs are different than regular season Chiefs. Playoff Mahomes is different. So that makes me feel good. The fear factor alone is always nice. Cleveland's up 20-7 on the Jets, by the way, which, cool. I mean, is to be expected, but right now it is what it is. Also, a little bit of a segment that I'd like to throw in here.
Okay.
If you guys don't mind, it'd just be quick. We'll just throw in a few stupid comments. I posted it today. I thought about it a few weeks ago, but it's something that I think really needs to be mentioned. Really, it's basically stupid posts by stupid people. And we get those constantly. I mean, my timeline's full of them. The list can go on and on. But I have a few of them that I'd like to bring up at some point during the show, but we can do that later on. Let's talk about the injury report first. Is that right?
Yes, sir. So it's long.
That's what she said.
We've got L'Jarius Sneed. He hasn't practiced all week. Obviously Isaiah Pacheco, who's shoulder and concussion. He's still in concussion protocol. Donovan Smith, Kadarius Toney, and Clyde, who did not practice, but his is an illness. So, you know, I don't expect or not. I wouldn't be surprised if he plays either way. I hope he does, and I actually more expect that Clyde does play. But, you know, it's a long injury report, and you've got some pretty big names that did not practice.
Yeah. From what I understand, L'Jarius Sneed will play. Barring any setbacks, he will play Sunday. It was a calf strain. So they were just basically resting him to get healed up. Isaiah Pacheco is not going to play. So, unless something changes between today and Saturday, he's not going to play.
I can't imagine yesterday. That he does. I mean, he went into concussion protocol. Basically, he started it during the game, so really he entered it on Tuesday, right, where you have to pass all these steps.
Yeah.
Starting on the next day and tack on the shoulder injury, it's a lot for one guy to accomplish in such a short time span.
Yeah. Honestly, I was told yesterday that don't expect him to play, and I don't expect him to play. As far as Toney is concerned, I don't know. They don't know, to be honest with you. It's going to end up inevitably being a game-time decision. That's probably what's going to happen. But right now, it doesn't sound favorable for him to play.
Yeah.
So Clyde will play. He'll get through the illness. He's getting better and better each day, so he'll get through it, and that'll be done. But Tony's a little bit – I mean, I don't believe Donovan Smith will play either.
I don't think so. I still think that Wanya Morris has played pretty well. I know he had a bad game, but he's a rookie left tackle. And you had to dedicate more resources to stop Max Crosby, so you're going to get a lot of one-on-one opportunities. And a veteran in the league is going to, you know, outplay a rookie left tackle. That's just the way that it is. So I would actually be upset if Donovan Smith came back and played, because I do think Wanya Morris is a more talented left tackle.
Yeah. I will say, you know, looking at our offense and looking at their defense, if we actually execute the right way, we'll be in a pretty good position. We just have to execute correctly. The one thing I wanted to bring up was something that Patrick Mahomes said, and it really resonates with what a great leader he actually is. When asked by James Palmer what he thought he could do to fix them, or what he thought could inevitably fix the issues that are going on with the offense, he said, "I really need to work on my footwork." This goes back to Texas Tech days, and I hold the ball too long. I drop back too far, which gives, you know, the defense time to get to me. I need to work on my footwork. He says, I got to get back to what I was doing last year, the year before that. He said, if I can fix that, then the balls will be more on time. The throws will be more on time and things will be better. Okay. Look, first of all, that may be, you know, a tenth of the issues. Hey, what's up, Will? But for him to come out and say that, knowing that that's really not the main problem here, is a testament to what a leader he is. Because anybody can go out and say, yeah, we just need to clean up these messes, you know, the drops, this, that, and the other. But he took it upon himself to blame himself for everything. He's not blaming the wide receivers for anything. And that's a stand-up guy to do that. Because after all the frustration that he's been through this season, honestly, I mean, we've seen quarterbacks in the past say, well, I can't control who catches it. I can't control the drops. I can't control if they're, you know, if they're running the right routes. I can't throw the ball and catch it too. I can't throw the ball and catch it too, Elvis Gerbeck. So it's nice to see him do the things that he – or say the things that he's saying and prove what a leader he is. One other thing is I want to clear up something really quick. There was a picture posted by ML Football, I believe it was, that said that Mahomes was crying on the sidelines. He was not. It was an image, still image, of him in the wind and cold. And, of course, his eyes were watery because the wind and the cold. But he was not crying on the sidelines. So everybody out there in football land can get over that shit. There's been so many false narratives about this man,
I mean,
especially since kind of the blow up that
we kind of talked about this yesterday or on Tuesday, right? When you're on top of the mountain, everybody wants to drag you down.
Exactly. So and that's slip, what they're trying to do.
Right. When you slip, you know, you fall hard and you just got to ignore this stuff. I do have a question for you based on the injury report.
Yes.
So Mecole Hardman has been a full participant in practice.
Yes.
If with his thumb injury.
Yes.
And they pulled him off the IR, I think, a week ago.
Yeah.
So they have another week to figure out if he's going to be a part of this team. Do you think he plays? And if he does, what impact do you think he can realistically have?
If Tony is out, he will play. I believe he will play. Impact-wise, look, we've seen Mecole do things that are great, and we've seen Mecole do things that are not so great. But he has learned from his mistakes to some degree as far as being a wide receiver. Impact-wise, not playing for 4 weeks, I don't know what kind of impact he'll have. I mean, he may come out and play the best football he's played in 3 years. Who knows? But sitting for 4 weeks and not being able to do anything football-wise, it's pretty difficult to walk in and just be your 100%. Regardless if you're 100% or not, it's hard to be that guy. You have to be a special individual to do that. I can see him having some impactful moments here and there, but I don't see him being a full-time participant or having this blowout 100-plus-yard game. No, I do not. I just see him in the slot, making, and who knows, they may switch it around. But I can see him in the slot making some plays. You may see him sent downfield because MVS cannot do that. That's pretty much a given. MVS has not proven himself this year to be the guy that you can rely on downfield. McColl's fast. He's caught some deep passes in the past from Mahomes. So it's not it's not out of the question that we could see him, you know, going on a 45-yard go route. I mean, it's not unheard of. And he's faster than every cornerback and safety that the Bengals have by far. So I wouldn't put it past Andy to put him in the game. It's in certain situations, but it's just kind of how how it's going to fall. He said, we've got to find some way to get him downfield. Absolutely. He's great downfield. I mean, he look at his, you know, in 2019, he was one of our best wide receivers. And I understand that he had some freedom because of Tyreek Hill and because of Travis Kelce mixed in the, you know, into the loop. And also Sammy Watkins for that matter. But if now that with the emergence of Rashee Rice, and then you have Travis Kelce, you put Noah Gray out there, put him, and look, by the way, I think the Bengals are like 28th in yards given up to tight ends this season. They've given up like the third most yards to a tight end this season. So you get Noah Gray and you get quick, early and often. And if you put McColl in, you sprinkle in some Rashee Rice, you got a recipe for success. You just have to execute correctly. But I do see McColl getting some snaps if Tony is not ready to go. If Tony's ready to go, McColl probably won't see a whole lot.
I think that if you're Kansas City, your problem has been a lack of trust. And I think this is a great way to just sort of build that trust back up with some of your wide receivers. I know that McColl and Mahomes have had their problems in the past, but you know, beggars can't be choosers in this situation. So let's go with that.
Yeah.
I would be if McColl plays and Tony doesn't, snap counts are going to be very interesting to me because, like we talked about last week, that MVS led the team in snaps with 61 and Rice 61. Was behind him at 57.
Unbelievable.
So we'll see what the snap count breakdown is after this game. If McColl plays, that'll be very interesting to me if they just go full on. You're ready to go. Let's do this. So
exactly.
That'll be extremely interesting to me. One of the other things on the injury report is that Ja'Marr Chase who hasn't practiced in a while, has missed a few games with a shoulder sprain, was limited in practice today.
Yeah. Yep. And Ja'Marr Chase, from what I understand, made it a point of emphasis to come back for this game.
Of course he does.
You know, so, well, to kind of lead into that, he came back too soon. He's really not ready to play. So if he takes one strong hit by, whether it be Justin Reed or L'Jarius Sneed, or even McDuffie that can lay a hit on somebody, it may be the one hit that takes him out. Katie says, I think we can beat that ass. I agree with you. I think we can too. I don't doubt that we can beat these guys. It's all about execution. It's all about being disciplined, being held accountable for your mistakes, and moving forward. And that's something that they have not been this season. I'm sorry, but they've not held themselves accountable for anything. They've not been held accountable for anything. The only one that has is Justin Watson and Patrick Mahomes. And, of course, Travis Kelce has. But everybody else is just kind of like, oh, well, whatever happens, happens type of shit. And the one thing about MVS, I will say this. Brett Veach, I preach this over and over again. He plays the players he pays. It's a sucky situation, but it's a business move. MVS makes more money than every other wide receiver by $4 million combined. So expect him to play. Because that's what Veach does. Most good GMs do that. They don't, you know, they don't want to waste their money with some guy sitting on a bench that they're paying a lot of money to. In his case, it's not really a lot of money for a wide receiver compared to everybody else in the league. that is supposed to be a, you know, starter. But $12 million is $12 million. And that's still $4 million more than you're paying all of our other wide receivers combined. Veach has done that with less. And he's played him a lot, just as much. So it's hard to say, okay, MVS is not going to be in this game. They're not going to they're probably going to reduce. I'll say this. If Tony is available or McColl's available, with the emergence of Rice and then Richie James getting into the fold, his snap count will probably be reduced. But I don't count him out. I still see him getting probably 30-plus snaps in this game. I just see it because that's just how Veach is. He wants his money's worth. And Andy doesn't really – sadly, Andy doesn't give up on players. He said as the new wide receiver from the Bears playing this week. No. No, I don't think so. I don't think he's ready. I don't know about you, Quentin, but I don't think he's ready.
Well, here's how Andy Reid runs his system. And for those of you that care, it's a lot like how Ned Yost ran the Royals.
Yes.
The 13-14, well, really 2011 to the 2015 seasons, where he trusted guys, even when they didn't trust in themselves. A lot of people don't remember this, but Mike Moustakas was sent down to the minors a couple of times after he came up to the Royals. And it took time for him to develop. And Ned Yost just said, we're going to keep trying. We're going to keep shooting this. He also, Eric Hosmer, similar way. Like, a lot of people don't remember this, but it took time for them to develop. And there's a good reason to believe other teams would have given up on some of those other guys. Now it was, you know, it's good for the Royals. Obviously they took you to back-to-back World Series. You won one. And it was one of the greatest moments in Kansas City sports history, but it took time to develop these guys. Andy Reid is very similar in that. Is if you're in the trust tree and you don't make those dumb mistakes, you're going out there and it's a skill thing or it's some of the small stuff, then Andy Reid is going to continue to give you opportunities, even if it's to the detriment of the team. Think of Bob Sutton. Think of Bob Sutton, true. Right? That's another example where it was a friend, and a lot of fans wanted him out a year, maybe two years earlier. And if you had just a mediocre defense, a lot of people, me included, you think that they would have went to the Super Bowl that first year, and you would have had a pretty good chance to beat a Rams team that was extremely beaten up by the time they got to the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. So
there's a give and a take in that situation there. Sometimes it helps you, sometimes it hurts you. You got to take the good with the bad. And I think that we're sort of in that pendulum swing. I think we're in sort of that bad negative impact of this. But, you know, when you sign a guy, you get the whole package. You don't get to pick and choose these sort of things. I think this is just sort of the bad side of it.
Yeah, I agree. So here's another thing that you have to look at, and I wanted to bring this up before I completely space it off. The Bengals have given up the sixth most receiving yards to wide receivers this season.
I'm happy we are into this because I have some of the defensive rankings of the Bengals in front of me, and I wanted to go through a couple of them.
Yeah, I mean, they've given up 2,644 yards this season. That's sixth most in the NFL. Two wide receivers. That's not tight ends. That's just wide receivers alone.
They are the worst defense given up in yards per play. They give up 6.1 yards per play. That is the worst in the NFL.
Yes. Yes. Oh, and by the way, they are actually – I take that back. They've given up the most receiving yards to tight ends in the NFL this season with 1,023. And the second most reception in the league at 98. That's just tight ends alone. We have two great tight ends.
They average 383.4 yards per game. So they're knocking on 400 yards of total offense given up per game.
Correct. Now, I mean, we've seen the Chiefs, twice? Was it three times this year put up 300-plus yards on teams that gave up less? So I'm not saying that we're going to put up 400 yards on them, but I can see us easily putting up three if we do things right.
This is not the same Bengals defense that Kansas City has faced in the last couple of years. The last couple of years, City has faced some pretty good Bengals defenses. This is not the same Bengals defense. Their pass rush isn't the same. they are like mediocre within in terms of getting sacks per game. They are literally 16th in sack percentage. They are the definition of average in the 2023 NFL.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Will asked, do you think Snead will play? I do. From what I've been told, as long as there's no setbacks, he will play. And now that Ja'Marr Chase is practicing and is acting like he's going to play, Snead will even push harder to play. So I do believe as long as there are no setbacks, he will play. But anyway, what's up, Philip? But yeah, I mean, to give up, you know, to have that sack percentage, to give up that type of yards to wide receivers and to tight ends alone, thanks to you, Philip, for the research. It's pretty insane to think that we couldn't go out there and just put up the yards that we want to put up as long as they execute. Tony is 2 more years. He's on his second year of a, what is it, second? I think it's the second year of, a, of his rookie contract. So really we have him 2 more years as long as we want to keep him. I think they will. They're not going to give up on Tony. He's too quick. He's too agile. He just needs to get his hands straight and he'll be good. See, that's exactly what I just said. I read it from your research, Philip. Kelce and Gray should be feasting and they should be. They should be out there just enjoying life during this game. It should be a nice, even flow each time they've got the ball. And this also should give the defense some time to rest during, you know, during, maybe we'll actually get time of possession and put some numbers up. We have to win this game. Okay, it is what it is. We don't have a choice. It's not going to be the end of the world if we don't, but we need to win this game. If we want any shot, at even the 2 seed, we need to win this game. And I still think the 2 seed's really kind of hard to get right now. It's there.
Kansas City ends up being a 3 seed, and the odds are the Bills are coming back to Arrowhead.
That's what I have. I think you're right. I actually agree with that.
I think if we win this game and the Raiders lose, I think we rest them next week against the Chargers.
And that might happen. That absolutely might happen.
One of the things that we haven't talked about a ton on this channel, and we probably should have, is that basically since coming back from the bye, Kansas City has been at a rest disadvantage this entire time.
Yeah, we talked about it earlier in the season.
We did. We talked about it early in the season, yeah. But it's something we probably should have hammered a little bit more over the last couple of weeks. But if you just think about it, right, they played Monday last week, right? And now they're playing Sunday. The Bengals played last Saturday. So the Bengals have an extra 2 days on us. The week before you were playing against the Patriots on Sunday, and the Raiders played earlier on Saturday. So it's like it kept building up. Every single day there were rest disadvantages for your team. And sure, if you get 1 week in the middle of the year where you're on a rest disadvantage, who cares?
But yeah, when you get 4
week after week after week,
yeah,
you know, I feel like it has started to build up. And, you know, this is probably one of the reasons why we're seeing the injury report build up against Kansas City. They've kind of been screwed with the insane rest disadvantage that they've been put at. So if Kansas City can pull through and beat the Bengals on Sunday, man, they could use that bye week, that sort of built-in bye week where you can take a deep breath and not have to really worry about the Chargers game.
I agree. Now, here's the one thing that we know about Andy. And let me say this really quick, because we talked about this actually week 1 of the NFL season when we did the research and figured out that the Chiefs were going to be screwed the entire season when it came to rest because of all the primetime games, the Saturday games. Then, of course, you know, when you flex a game, they have been basically a week behind all season long. When you really consider it, it's a week behind all season long. The 1 week didn't make up for anything. The 1 bye week didn't really make up for anything. The time of possession is, and if you look at the injury list, our injury list, for the most part this season, has been predominantly defensive players. Yeah, we've got a few offensive players that have been injured here and there, but it's predominantly defensive players that have been injured because they're on the field more. We talked about this going in, you know, to week five. And the one thing that I brought up was, is I was really concerned about this because if we continued on this trajectory of time of possession, the defense is going to be gassed by week 10, week 11. By week 11, they were out there playing like they hadn't slept in 3 days. They were on a 3-day binger. So there's two huge problems. But the one thing about Andy is that when he sees deficiencies, sees mistakes, if they can't figure out how to fix these during the Bengals game, I don't know if he rests them during the Chargers game because he wants to make sure that these guys are figuring these issues out prior to the playoffs.
I know, but I just feel like getting the rest is so, so important when you know you don't have a bye and the team that you're more than likely going to be facing has been playing playoff-type football for a month now. Because the Bills were in a situation where if they lost, they were out. Now, they're not in that situation anymore because the Dolphins lost a couple games, so they even still have a chance to win their division. But the Bills have been playing really good football as of late. You haven't. And I feel like you need to take a deep breath heading into the playoffs.
Well, I don't know if the Bills are going to win their division. I doubt it. I don't see them finishing out. I mean, I don't know what do you have their remaining two games left?
I don't think that they win. I don't think they win their division either. But I know they face the Dolphins in the last week of the season.
Yes. And here's my thing. If you got to think about it. Yeah, they've got a mathematical chance of being in the playoffs along with six other football teams. So they can get knocked out of this. The Raiders right now are actually in the same boat they're in when it comes to the playoffs, or pretty close. The Raiders somehow went out and Buffalo loses a game. They take Buffalo's spot in the playoffs. So it's so close there at the end when it comes to the seeding and who's in the wild cards, I should say. It's anybody's game right now. It's anybody's game. So I don't know, man. I don't know if the Bills will make it or not. I still don't think Sean McDermott has complete control of that room. Yeah, they've played pretty good football over the last few, like, 2-3 weeks, but it's not been phenomenal football. Especially last week wasn't like crazy good. You know, it was okay, but it wasn't like they were playing out of their shoes. And then of course, you know, the week before, Josh Allen threw for 84 yards.
Right.
So I don't know, man. If you're going to take Allen out of the game because of his interception rate and his poor decisions, then teams are going to hone in on your running back and they're going to tighten that area up. Playoff football is totally different. And he knows that, along with every other team that has actually made it to the playoffs that's going to be making it this year. They know how difficult it is to go in and not only just win a playoff game, but even really, to be honest with you, beat the Chiefs in a playoff game. Regardless of what our season looks like right now, doesn't really mean a whole lot when it comes to, because that's a totally different season, a totally different mindset. And we have no idea what's going to happen. I mean, like Mahomes said, look, you know, we got to straighten it up. If we don't, then we're going to be going home. And he doesn't want to go home. He's never done that. Here's an interesting fact that I didn't really think about until, and we'll talk about this with the stupid comments, but, you know, Patrick Mahomes in his 7-year career, 6 as a starter, has never missed a playoff game or a playoff, period. He's never missed one, never missed the playoffs. Tom Brady missed the playoffs twice. His first one was in 2003. He missed the playoffs completely. All the comparisons between, you know, somebody put up a stat, again, ML football put up a stat, crazy. Tom Brady and Lamar Jackson had the exact same record 57 games into their season. They're both 57-19. Well, that's fantastic because Mahomes is 76-22. And at that point, he was 60-16. So you can't really compare anybody to anyone at this point. There's no comparing Brady to Mahomes, Lamar to Brady, or anyone else, because they're all individual players. They all had different traits. They all had different weaknesses, attributes, strengths, and also gifts. And it's something that, you know, all these people just want to compare and compare, and it's not really conducive to what's going on right now in football.
Well, you know how I feel about these comparisons.
Yeah, I know.
Whoa, you got to say it like that. Yeah, I know. Oh, God.
No, I mean, I know it's true. What you're saying is true.
I don't like quarterback wins as a stat. I think it's lazy. I think it's
lazy.
The exact way that people say that it's like we're going back to the 90s when we're giving the Cy Young Award to pitchers because they have the most wins, despite the fact that other pitchers were playing better. Yeah. I don't think that saying quarterback is great because he was on a team that had wins. Guys, just so you know, there are 11 dudes on each side of the football when the ball is snapped. So there are 22 dudes on each team that play offense and defense. It's important that you include those guys. So just saying that a quarterback has X many wins over this player or whatever, I just don't think that it's – I think that it's lazy. And so when we talk about quarterback wins as a stat, I thought we were moving out of this era of just looking at wins and other stats like that. When baseball started to remove some of those, it's funny. It's like baseball got rid of pitcher wins as an important stat, and then they really wanted to keep talking about wins from a player, so they just brought in quarterback wins. And now it's all about the quarterback wins, despite the fact that we've had mediocre quarterbacks come in and play really well in systems, and we all agree that they're not great quarterbacks, but yet we talk about them that they're like on the upper echelon because they're on a great team. Cough, cough, Jimmy Garoppolo, cough, cough, right? We talk about these guys like, oh, look how great they are. Look how many wins they have. And then you realize what's around them or where they are. And you're like, maybe that's inflated a little bit. So
that's the case.
This conversation is not me talking about how Patrick Mahomes is being inflated because of what's around him. That's not what this is at all. I'm just shit talking the ridiculous thing that people want to just keep comparing quarterback wins to other quarterbacks because it's stupid and lazy. And it's easy to look up one stat and be like, look at these two great things. Now, if the conversation you want to have is compare the entire teams, look at these two teams, these two, you know, levels of dynasties or whatever, and how similar they are and how their teams are built. And they both have equal success. I'm fine with that because you're not breaking it down to one individual player. You're talking about the entire organization structure as a whole. And I can live with that because that's a nuanced conversation and not just lazy writing.
You know, and I think that's what bothers me the most is the fact that when you hear people talk about the New England Patriots, what you hear is Tom Brady won 7 rings. Tom Brady won 7 rings. It's not Tom Brady. And if you talk to any NFL player that has played on a Tom Brady team, they fucking hate it. They hate it because they know that without them, there's no him. But when you look at these
like
Homer-ass fans, huh?
I said it's almost like it's a team sport.
Yeah, I mean, God forbid. But if you listen to these Homer-ass fans and some of these Homer-ass announcers and analysts out there, Tom Brady won this. Tom Brady won. No, he didn't. Tom Brady didn't win anything alone. It's that simple. Go back and look at the real stats. If you actually get at your head out of your ass for 5 seconds, go back and look at the stats over the 22 years he played football. Look at the teams that were built around him. Look at the defenses that he had. Top 5, top 6 defenses, year in, year out, no matter what. That's what it was.
I think you could argue that Darrell Williams should have won the Super Bowl MVP in the 49ers Super Bowl.
Yeah. You know,
it's like the MVP has just become a quarterback award. And I'm so happy that Brock Purdy threw like 17 interceptions in a 4-second period because we get to stop having the ridiculous conversation of Brock Purdy being MVP. Makes me happy.
Exactly. Exactly. Here's the dumb – let's get to the dumb comments real quick. I'll just do one right now because it's funny. So in that we get, you know, ML Football tags us and everything. He says, wild, Tom Brady and Lamar Jackson had the exact same record through their first 76 starts, 57 and 19. My response to that was, that's awesome. Mahomes is 73 and 22 through his career, just saying. Some guy says Brady won three Super Bowls before he lost a playoff game, so there's that. You're right, yeah, he did.
I know.
Because he missed the playoffs in 2002. He didn't make it to the playoffs. So you can't really use that as a stat. It's just the dumbest. We really need to have
that bit from the Colts head coach in like the 90s where he's like, playoffs?
Yeah.
We're talking playoffs.
Exactly, yeah. I love that guy from the Colts. I can't think of his name right now, but he was hilarious.
I mean, I don't even think I was alive yet when that bit happened, but I know about it.
I remember it to like it was yesterday, and it was so fucking funny because he actually had a media room laughing. Yeah. So I said, yeah, he missed the playoffs in 2002. I'm amazed at the ignorance that flows out of casuals' mouths. Mahomes was hosting the title game his first 5 years as a starter, so there's that. I don't understand how people actually get through a full day and then have these kind of comments. I don't. This guy's name is Dino Marino. That's what he calls himself, Dino Marino. Now, whether that's his real name or not, if it is, it's sad. But regardless, that's just a very stupid comment to make. If you don't know what football really is, then don't speak about it. But I see this over and over again. My timeline gets 2,000 or 3,000 hits a day, and usually it's ignorance. I brought that up because of the stupid comment segment. That was probably one of the most ignorant comments I've seen today. You know, other than Mahomes is washed and Kelsey's no good anymore. And when he retires, Mahomes is going to be no good anymore. That was the other stupid comment we've gotten. Regardless, it's just dumb. It's funny to a degree to watch. If you go on there and you look at it and then you make somebody look really stupid in a very nice way, which I've gotten very good at from what I'm told, it's funny to watch their responses because they really don't have one. There was a guy named Pete. It's probably the last one I'll do. Where's Pete at? I saved these because I thought, my God, how can you? Oh, and here's another one. Favre is the best comparison to Pat at this stage in his career. Huh?
Oh, that was the head coach for the Colts.
Yeah, that's right. That's Jim Mora. He was hilarious. He was funny anyway. And then he was funny in all of his press conferences. He always had some smart-ass comical thing to say, but that was great. So this same Dingo Marino says, Favre is the best comparison to Pat at this stage in his career. No, Josh Allen is the best comparison to Brett Favre at this stage in their career or in his career. Because if you really look at it, Josh Allen's a gunslinger, makes his own rules, does what he wants to do, and throws just as many interceptions, if not more, than he does touchdowns. That's what Brett Favre was at this stage in his career.
Yeah,
everybody knows that.
We've talked about the Brett Favre comparisons, and I, honestly, I didn't grow up watching Brett Favre. That was kind of before my time. I started watching football a lot in like 2000, probably not 8, 9. So I sort of got some of the Brett Favre era in Green Bay, but not a ton of it. I don't remember Brett Favre having a lot of the arm angles and stuff that Mahomes has. And
he didn't.
And Brett Favre wasn't nearly as mobile. Now that might've been just because of his age when I was watching him, but I don't like the comparisons from.
Well, it's not a good comparison.
Allen.
It's just not a good comparison.
I think Allen is better, but I still think that like Josh Allen is a more mobile quarterback and, you know, definitely has some more of the arm angles and stuff. So I would say that Allen's probably a better quarterback, but you know, that's just me.
Brett Favre was very, they're so similar in so many ways because Brett Favre was a very tough quarterback. He took a tremendous. Now, can I say that Allen would have been able to hold up as well as Favre did during those years? Probably not. I don't think anyone could have because Favre got plummeted constantly, drilled, and they didn't.
He is a great example.
That.
he is a great example about that. There are that sacks are a quarterback stat as much of an offensive line stat.
Correct.
And I'm going to keep saying this. I'm going to keep speaking it from the rooftops because I need people to understand that sacks are not just an offensive line stat. Pressures are an offensive line stat, but sacks are on the quarterback too. And Mahomes talked about in his press conference earlier in the week where he says that some of those pressures were on him because he took too far of a drop back. And when you have a rookie left tackle and that guy, that pass rusher, sees your quarterback taking an extra two or three steps back in the pocket, he doesn't need to go inside anymore. He can push him to the outside, right? Max Crosby can just push Wanya Morris to the inside of the offensive line, and he's got a free run. So these are some of the nuances that need to be fixed up. When other parts of your offense aren't working, you need to be able to do some of these other things correctly to sort of aid you.
Correct. Go ahead. I got one more dumb comment, and then I'll be done.
Okay, you can do your last dumb comment. I'll have a question for you, and then we'll move into Believe It or Not.
Okay. This Pete guy went back and forth with a few people that follow us on Twitter, and he says, Mahomes can't ride Tyreek's coattails anymore.
And yeah, Chiefs fans say to that, we won a Super Bowl last year, and that's it.
Yeah, that's my point. I think he forgot last year existed because we didn't have any Tyreek Hill on our team. And while Tyreek was sitting on the couch last year, we were winning a Super Bowl. This Pete guy, he made some very ignorant comments during this whole thing, and it was actually funny to watch because he really made himself look stupid in so many ways. One of his comments, I got to find it because it was great. Where did it go? I can't find this. So this Sneed Season says, because when I put that up, he said, that's our QB. Mahomes is the definition of the GOAT in my eyes. No one will ever change my mind. The guy says, get an eye exam. I said, and he is a Vikings fan. So I said, how's the Vikings doing? You should stick to baseball because he's got baseball over his page. Then he says, this is the funniest part. He says, Tom Brady was winning Super Bowls with Amendola, Edelman, and Hogan for wide receivers. But he forgot to bring in, Gronk and some of the other wide receivers that he won Super Bowls with, and also the top five. Well, at those times, he probably had number two defense in the NFL. So these guys, it was just a dumbass comment. He said, ignore Kelsey and Tony being explosive at a very high draft picks. I said, so you think two players can win a Super Bowl? One being a first-year player in a brand new system, also having the most yards in the league, because that's what Mahomes did last season. He won by himself. They won because of an 11th overall defense and Mahomes making perfect passes to the players that understood the playbook. This year, they're a little lax. He's just kind of stupid. People just say stupid things. I'm going to make a list every week, and we're going to have a short 5-minute segment of dumb comments from dumb people. And we'll go over them. And it doesn't necessarily have to be about the Chiefs. It could be about anybody. Now, what's your question?
Let's do the Believe It or Not, because I'll roll my question into one of my Believe It or Nots.
Cool.
So, Thiz, run the Believe It or Nots. Okay, so for anybody that's new to the show, I come up with a segment called Believe It or Not, where I give a couple of scenarios, and you believe it or you not. So, there you go. The first one I want to talk about sort of goes back to the injury report a little bit. Depending on who it is, the Chiefs, believe it or not, the Chiefs continue to shut down number one receivers. They have not allowed a 100-yard receiver against a number one receiver all year.
Do they allow one now?
Yeah.
No. No, they're definitely not going to allow it against the Bengals. No. I promise you they will have a scheme set up specifically for those three wide receivers if Chase plays.
And that's an important part. One, because even if Chase plays, the question is how effective is he going to be? Now, if he's just on the field running routes, he's still going to take coverage away from somebody else, right? So he's at the very least going to be a great decoy because you have to respect him. But on the other hand, I have two number one corners. So, and I know Philip put it in the chat earlier that McDuffie has had a tremendous amount of success against Chase.
Yeah, it's 80 points. So was he?
This is a stingy Chiefs corners, and I just wanted to put that on there to remind everybody that even if Jamar Chase plays and Jake Browning playing decent football, that there's still a great set of corners and a secondary for the Bengals to get through, you know?
Correct. I mean, look, McDuffie as a rookie only allowed 15.5 yards per game for against Chase. That as a rookie. So I don't, and that's all the way through the playoffs.
And a rookie who at the point when he first played him had played what, like two or three games? Because remember, yeah, he was injured. He got injured in week one. So
correct. So yeah, no, I don't see any one of their wide receivers getting 100 yards.
Yeah, I wanted to put that out there. A little positivity in the Chiefs Focus show today. Number two, this is where my question is gonna get rolled in. So, believe it or not, the Kansas City Chiefs get a passing touchdown, or I guess a receiving touchdown from the running backs.
In the game?
In the game, yeah.
Yes. I believe they will.
The reason I ask this
go ahead.
Is because I think that the running backs, despite Pacheco being out, I think that the running game and the receiving game out of the backfield has to be a big part of the offense moving forward.
Absolutely.
And I just wanted your opinion on just how do you think the Chiefs running backs look in this game?
I see, because you know, we don't have McKinnon and we don't have Pacheco. So you've got Clyde and Prince. Is that correct? Is it Prince that they moved up?
They got Clyde and P. Ryan. And generic Prince is still, well, we haven't heard from him since camp. But correct. P. Ryan is their next guy.
P. Ryan. Clyde has shown now that he can catch out of the backfield, and he can catch touchdowns. I believe he will be used in the passing game, and I believe he'll catch. I don't think it's going to be a long one. It's going to be in the red zone, but I think he will catch a touchdown. And I'm going to say Clyde's going to do it.
I think that it has to be Clyde. You're going to need your running backs in this game. I really do. Absolutely. Think that if Kansas City is going to win tonight or on Sunday night, whenever, I don't know exactly. Is that a 325 game?
I think it's a 325 game, yeah.
Yeah. When the Chiefs play against the Bengals, I think that they have to use the running backs every shape, form, because you need to extend that defense, stretch the field sideways, horizontally, before you're going to be able to move anything down the field. I think a couple of reasons for that is simply, one, that trust still isn't there between Mahomes and the wide receivers. And Clyde is one of your most experienced guys in this system now. CEH has to be the main running back. And this is just the way that it's going to have to be moving forward until Pacheco comes back, and you'll feel a lot better about this running back room. But we'll have to wait and see. CEH needs to have the game of his NFL career. And that's just the way that it's going to have to be.
Yeah. And going to Philip here, I agree with you, but I will say that that was an Andy decision. Veach didn't make that decision. That was Andy. He didn't want Andy wanted to keep the wide receiver or the running backs that he had, and then know that he had those guys on the practice squad that he can move up if he needed to. He wanted to bring in the extra wide receiver and have that extra spot open. So that was an Andy move, which is weird. Andy's always liked to use fullbacks, but he decided this year he didn't want one. Kind of is what it is. And we have to bring something else up too prior to the show, because I want to toot my own horn for a minute. But go ahead.
Final one. Chris Jones has 8.5 sacks on the season. He gets $1 million bonus if he gets to 10.
Yep.
Does Chris Jones make his extra $1 million?
In this game?
Yeah.
He needs 2.5 sacks, right?
He needs 1.5.
1.5, yes. He'll get it. And if he does, I'm going to go as this far and say he gets extended prior to the season or his contract being up with the Chiefs. if he gets that record. So
I think you have to get pressure on Jake Browning. Look, young quarterbacks, generally speaking, don't do well under pressure, and Spags loves creating pressure from the outside.
Yes.
And that'll be run game and pass rush is how you're going to have to win this game. And it's going to be boring. It is not going to be Chiefs football of the past, but this is how actually it'll be Chiefs defense or Chiefs victories of the past, but like Marty Ball era.
Yes.
That's what we need. We need some Marty Ball back in here. I can't believe I'm saying this.
Yeah. And it's true. That's what you need. And that's what we're going to have. Kareem Hunt just doesn't quit. I'm sorry. I just glanced over and Kareem Hunt did it again. I do miss that guy in Kansas City. We need a healthy balance. This game, we need a very healthy balance, a very structured, healthy balance between the pass and the run. If we can establish the run, the pass, and let me rephrase that. If we establish the run and they use the right players in the right packages during this game, given what they know about what the Cincinnati Bengals defense has allowed throughout this season, we should be able to win this game. It's that simple. It's just what they have to do.
That is Believe It or Not. So we have our score predictions.
We got that. And we got one thing I want to bring up afterwards.
All right. So what are your final thoughts before we get to our actual score predictions?
So we talked about this. I talked about this and I made kind of a big deal about it when they signed Russell Wilson. That this was, after that first season with Nathaniel Hackett, I remember specifically saying on the show that he wouldn't last. That somehow Sean Payton would get out of it. Sean Payton turned that job down the first time because of Russell Wilson, did not want to work with him. The only reason he took the job is because all of Russell Wilson's amenities were taken away, and he knew that he only had one season that he had to actually play with him as a starter. He is now benched. The caveat to this is, which is comical, is that when all of this went down, there was an addendum added to Russell Wilson's contract. That addendum was, if he is cut prior to March, his bonus or his salary for 2024 is $1.2 million.
Yeah, so here's how it works is they're benching him because it's a lot like Derek Carr last year.
Correct.
Where if he can't pass a physical, then his next year's salary becomes guaranteed. But if he passes a physical, then the Broncos can cut him and that $37 million doesn't become guaranteed. Now, so when they cut him, they're still going to eat about $80 million of dead cap over the next couple of years. So it's still not going to be easy, but this is exactly what the Raiders did to Derek Carr last year. I mean, Correct. It's like spot for spot. And interesting enough, Jared Stidham is once again the backup.
Yes. And crazy enough, Sean Payton loves him. For some reason, he's taking some kind of credit.
I think it has to just be with the fact that he must understand the playbook. It has to be something like that because it's nothing physical out on the field. Jared Stidham isn't bad necessarily, but he's not great. I think
he's
just
taking
has to be
some kind of credit. And I'd have to go back and find the original comment that was made about this that he made. But he is making some kind. He's taking some kind of personal credit for his, I guess, drafting or being brought into the league or whatever the case may be. But he's taking some kind of a credit for his NFL experience, his NFL career. I don't know what that credit would be.
I think it just has to be the fact that he looks good in practice and he must do really well in the film room. Sean Payton sees that. Because Sean Payton has always had a quarterback that has the high IQ, right? Like Drew Brees, right? Drew Brees was never the uber talented guy, but
he was extremely intelligent.
He was extremely good at just playing the position, and Sean Payton can work with that. Russell Wilson has not had that same level of football IQ on the field. I mean, it took them think of how many times you've seen him yelling at Russell Wilson on the sideline, telling him, hey, you know, that's not what you're supposed to do. Or they went back and forth because Russell Wilson didn't want to wear an armband. So I think that this is just a two heads clashing together and Sean Payton won out.
Well, and the whole thing is Sean Payton made it very clear that he wants somebody that's actually going to do what he says.
Exactly.
And, Russell Wilson refuses to do that. So, in his words, he's made decisions on the field that I didn't agree with, that I didn't call. He's also stays in the pocket too long, or he gets out of the pocket too quickly. He just doesn't read the field. And when I give him a play and he goes the opposite because he thinks he's reading the field, I don't want to deal with that. What he sees in Stenham is somebody that's going to listen to him and listen to the quarterback coach, the offensive coordinator, whoever it may be, and follow their lead. Russell, now, my question to you is, and this was posed to me, so I want to know what you think. Where do you think Russell Wilson's playing next year?
Oof. There's going to be quite a bit of quarterback jobs open. Let's just say, off the top of my head, I think Atlanta's going to be looking for a quarterback. So, oh. Okay. Atlanta seems like a good fit. They have a good offense around good players around him, and I don't think they'll be in a position necessarily to draft a guy high enough. Now, they could end up getting a guy like a Bo Nix, right, with sort
That's
of your mid-year picks.
Yeah.
But, you know, that might be a guy that you want to sit for a year, or you let Russell Wilson come in and play for a little bit, and then eventually you put, like, a guy like a Bo Nix in. But I think Atlanta's a good spot for him to go.
Okay. I have a different opinion, and it may be a hot take. I don't think he plays. I think he retires.
That would be – I mean – he either plays like he's either going somewhere as a starter or he's retiring. I can't imagine Russell Wilson being a backup somewhere.
You know what Sean Payton actually did say, and I forgot to bring that part up. He did say that if they decided to hang on to him, he'd be a $1.2 million backup because they are going with Stidham next year. But regardless, I think and the Raiders, I don't know if they're, I mean, I don't know if he'd want to stay in this division if Russell will, because he would be a free, basically a free agent. If he's cut, he's a free agent. He can go wherever he wants. I don't know if he'd want to go to the Raiders. I just don't know if that's something he would want to do and stay in this division. But I have a weird feeling he's going to retire. I think he's done. These last 2 years have been really rough on him. Pete Carroll wanted him out in 2017. For anybody that doesn't know this, Pete Carroll tried very hard to convince ownership and management to get rid of him in 2017, 2018, 2019. They refused to do it. One, there was a cap hit, but it wasn't nearly the cap hit that the Broncos have with him, but they refused to do it. When he finally got that done, it made him a better coach. He's got a better football team, and it showed Russell Wilson's true colors. I'm sorry, but it did. I knew this was coming. I mentioned this numerous times on the show that I thought they would eat the money and dump him. And I said this year, and everybody said, oh no, there's no way that's going to happen. That's exactly what they're doing. They don't give a shit about his money. They have an addendum in there that really pays. It helps them tremendously. And of course they got to, you know, he does his guaranteed money doesn't actually kick in until 2025. So no matter how you look at it, they may not be in as bad a cap hell as you think. If they cut him in March, they owe him $1.2 million because his actual guaranteed money doesn't even kick in until 2025. So I don't know what kind of cap hit they're going to have, if any.
It's still going to be a decent cap hit. It's just that $37 million that would automatically be guaranteed for the next season. That's the stuff that they're avoiding paying. There are some other guarantees. I want to say, I mean, it's like they're still going to eat quite a bit of cash.
Now, well, he didn't get his performance guarantee. He didn't get his playoff guarantee. He didn't get his Super Bowl guarantee. He didn't get any of that. So, and all those in the actual salary guarantee didn't kick in until 2025. So if you figure they cut him prior to that, and because of the fact that he didn't reach any of those incentives that he was supposed to reach in that contract, they may not owe him anything.
They will owe him over the next three seasons, it'll be $85 million.
If they cut him in March.
If they cut him pre-June 1 at the start of next year. And a lot of that is coming out next season. And that's just
The 2025 season, you mean?
The 2024 season.
Well, the $37 million, he is going to be dwindled down to $1.2 million if they cut him in March. I do know that for a fact, because even Ari Morrow put that out that said that if it's – in fact, I think I actually have the article. If he is cut in March, the caveat in his contract, given the fact that his guaranteed money doesn't kick in until 2025, if he makes all of his incentives, they are dwindling that amount down to $1.2 million. Here, let me, I got it pulled up right here.
I mean, I've got over the cap up.
The other thing is that would
significantly improve their team cap situation, because for the 2024 season, they're $18 million over the cap. So that would immediately solve all their problems.
Well, I wish I could find that article. I had it right here, and then I can't really find it now. But it was kind of crazy to think that he's going to lose basically $36 million, $34.
Yeah, he's going to lose a ton of money, but because of that contract, they're still going to owe him a ton of money. They're going to have – $50 million in dead cap space, but they're still going to save themselves a ton of money by cutting him. It's just,
now here's something that's funny.
Is going to be a big chunk of change.
It says breaking, the Vikings are the favorite to be the nine-time Pro Bowler Russell Wilson. That's per Bet Online. I don't know if they don't know shit. I got to tell you right now, I have a weird feeling that they re-sign Kirk Cousins.
Well, I'd have to think about that. All right, you want to do our score predictions and get out of here?
Sure, let's do that.
I've got 16-10. Kansas City's their only touchdown of the game is scored in a 2-minute drive.
You got Kansas City winning?
Yeah.
Okay.
16-10.
All right. Because you had them losing last week, so I was curious about it. So I just want to make sure about that. I'm going to go – 24-10.
Yeah.
I think the Chiefs are going to – they're going to show some different packages to a defense that is not that great. And I feel like they have a little bit more to prove. I don't think they're going to show all their cards, but they're going to show something that they're not just washed-up has-beens. And they're going to go out there and beat a team that they need to beat. So I think it's going to be 24-10. And watch both of us be wrong, and this end up being like a 40-9 game that the Chiefs just come out and.
I mean, you know what? I can live with that.
I can too. I'd almost probably give something behind me away if they did that. So.
All right. Why don't you tell the good people about PSF, and then Thiz can get us out of here.
Okay. Anybody. Everybody who has not signed up with the PSF app, go on your phones right now. Go to your app store. Look up PSF. It's actually called Pro Sports Fans. You can see it up in the top right corner of our screen. Download that app. Now it's a big giant app or image right in the middle of our screen. If you go on that app and download it, you can be part of the Gamecast. We do what we consider a Manning cast every week during the NFL season and the playoffs. We also do usually a midweek show, but during Christmas, we did not do that. But it's audio and visual. We have live game stats. odds. Everything is there that you need. There's going to be a news. We're adding a bunch of stuff as we go, but there's news, highlights, everything that you need to have is in that app. Download it. Jump on the app. Sean Salisbury spent a lot of money. If you don't know who he is, he's an ex-NFL quarterback, played about 10 years in the league, 13 years in the league. Very nice guy. I've known him since 1994. Really cool dude. He put a lot of effort into building this app, and it's a lot of fun. It's like the Manning Cast without restrictions. We can say what we want. You can join the video if you want, the audio. You can do whatever you want, or you can just chat in the screen. It puts spaces to shame. It's a lot of fun. Download the app. It doesn't cost you a dollar. And enjoy the ride, because we got a few games left in the season. Then when we get to the playoffs, there's going to be some giveaways coming up. And we've all made sure that that's going to happen. So make sure you download the app. With that being said, we appreciate everybody for joining, and we will see you guys Sunday during the game and after. Peace out, everybody.